music. It's not especially understanding what it is, but feeling the music. And you know, Hawaiian music, I think there's a lot of feeling that cannot be explained through this voice.
We the voices behind the faith of the Hawaiian nation, the Hawaiian race, cries for justice, the day has come for all our people to stand as one. E ala e, e ala e. We the voices behind the face, the Hawaiian nation, Hawaiian race, cries for justice, the day has come for all our people to stand as one. E ala e. We the warriors born to live on what the land did she can give. Defend our birthright to be free. Give our children liberty. Power of the people is the people ke aloha o ka aina, o ka aina. The land that she can give. Defend our birthright to be free. Give our children liberty.
Ala e, aloha kakahiaka. This is Maka'ala, and this is Pilikia Opono. If you don't know what they mean, please put the app on your phone. Ulukau, U-L-U-K-A-U, or Vehevehe, W-E-H-E. Both are really good apps for looking words up. They'll give it to you in English. Good morning, everyone. Good heavens. So this is the Laulima fundraiser for our favorite radio station. Why? Because where else do you hear this kind of content? You just don't, folks. You don't. People, for the most part, avoid, stand behind the curtain, stand behind the door when it comes to talking about the tough stuff, the hard stuff, the deep stuff, the dark stuff. And that's not my personality, nor is it my mission this time around, this life. Not sure what I did last time, but this time, this is what I'm doing. And without KKCR, this kind of programming, this kind of conversation simply doesn't take place because they are supported by commercial entities that don't thrive on controversy. We thrive on controversy. We like the discussion. We like the Tuck story. We like the fact that it is participatory. That means that you call in, that you have a voice, that you have a say. That also means that you help support the radio station. We're not different than anyone else from any of you. We have light bills. We have internet bills. We have telephone bills. Every once in a while, somebody's got to slap some paint somewhere. Every once in a while, wires break. Things like this cost money, and that's on you, the listener, you, the member of KKCR. We're very grateful for all of our underwriters. We're grateful for our corporate support. And we're very grateful that they support the idea that we are independent, that we are a voice of the community. We speak the things that others don't want to speak, and our underwriters know that and support us. And you do too by listening. So please show your support today by going to kkcr.org, hit that donate button, or if you want a friendly voice on the other end of the line, you can call 808-826-7774 and someone will be right there, ready to take your pledge and help you through the process. So if pushing a button or going on the internet is not something you do every day or want to do, you'd rather talk to a human. We have humans. We have real human beings here. This is not automated, not computerized. Nope, we're here alive and well and breathing. This is Pilikia or Pono, and we talk about issues that are of importance today. And we have a partner in this conversation, and he is Mauna Kea Trask. And he and I decided that we would do this show, this conversation, and we would address the things that people ask us about, that people talk about, that might be in the headlines. And we archive, we store, we keep the programming on the kkcr.org website. And in that location, you will also find all of the citations, all of the references that Mauna Kea uses in his conversation, in his talk story. So because of a variety of things, we're very grateful to be flexible in what we talk about. Mauna and I did have an original sort of outline. It's gone out the window long ago. Because that's just not how we roll. And I said a couple of weeks ago, oh, Mauna, we just really have to talk about water. We just really have to talk about water. So Mauna is not with us today in the studio. He's called in by phone because he has to appear today at 8:30 at County Council. And for any of you who have driven the roads of Kauai lately, yeah, you're not getting from North Shore to South Shore quickly. It's not happening, folks. By the way, pay attention to those reader boards on the highway, please. They're there for a reason. I drove early yesterday to go to the airport, and it's a challenge. There's probably three or four places where there are delays. And we're very grateful for the new highway surface. We're very grateful when they trim the weeds. But why they have to do it during commute hours is beyond me. Anyway, that's the way it is. So good morning, Mauna. We are here. We are alive and well. And we're grateful that you have the time to call in. How are you?
Oh, good morning. I'm doing great. I'm excited today. Today's going to be
yeah,
very interesting.
Okay. I'm just going to let you roll with it, I think. I mean, I have a personal history of the water on Kauai, and most people know that. But if you, but that's not particularly germane to today's stuff. One of the things that I am concerned about with water, do we know how much we have? No. Do we know how much we need? No. Do we know how much is coming? No. So given all of that... what do we do with the with the water that we have? And it goes way back. So Hawaii's water law is unique. It's not like any water law in the world. It's
no.
Completely different. So maybe we start there. I don't know where you were planning to start because I can't look in your eyes now. But what do you think?
Yeah, well, I think, well, first off, I think that, you know, the good thing about being know-it-alls like you and I, is that when we don't know it, not knowing things doesn't stop us from talking about it.
Never.
So, I, you know, water is, and Hawaii law is very interesting with water. I don't think it's been static the whole time, obviously. I mean, there's been, in stages in Hawaii's history, there is... been drastic changes on how it was used, right? So you had like basically pre-contact up until the mid to late 19th century, when sugar kind of took it all and was doing that thing. And then you have post-sugar and really the Hawaiian Renaissance, which was very much, I think, an environmental renaissance as well. I don't think they're the same thing, but they definitely had similar interests and goals at the time, right? 78, Con and stuff like that. So, but fundamentally, I think that to understand water in Hawaii, there, geologically, we live in big sponges, right? I mean, that's what it is. The lava rock on our islands are sponges. And for millions of years, they have been collected rain, and they've absorbed the water. And so, and then from there, and that's obviously very basic. But if you look, like, it's fascinating, the science of it. So I always, you know, I grew up in Wailua, but I live in Omaha. And if you look at Haupu, the mountain Haupu right there by Nawiliwili, it's amazing because that peak specifically, the water comes up off the ocean, it hits Haupu. At any given time, there's clouds on, up there. Sometimes they're the really crazy pig clouds, you know, like the ones that look like UFOs. And it's cool because the ocean air hits it. And if you know, if you live on the south side in Omaha, the water dumps there all the time. And if you look, it's a straight shot from Haupu with the trade winds right to Omaha, and it dumps it. And in that line, it is one of the most fertile parts of that area. And I was speaking to Adam Killerman once, who's still, you know, he's one of the last guys that know the sugarcane ditches. Really, really smart guy. And he said that if right before Knutson Gap, across on the west side of Halfway Bridge, it was like LP's most prolific sugarcane field, and they barely watered it because it was the pocket right there, you know, that took that water. So where I'm going with this then is, next, I think to understand water, you have to go to the waters of Kane chant, Aia Ihea Kawaia Kane. And I really, whenever water question comes up, I read it again and I start again, because I think that, there is so much Ike and Kauna in the chants and the Hawaiian perspective, which this is 1,000 years of observation science. And from there you go next, you know. And so that's how I look at it. Geologically and Hawaiian cultural.
Yeah, so we did have a few years back, I received an inquiry from a law firm on the continent saying, we represent nature.
I
said,
oh, God.
I know. And I said, huh? And they said, no, we represent...
from the main, okay.
Yeah,
anyway.
Yeah. From the continental perspective, we represent nature. And they were serious. They're still alive and well, and they're still serious. But what they wanted to do was to resurrect or create rights of nature in Hawaii. And apparently they'd done some work in other places and felt that it was beneficial in protecting the rights of the water. And I said, do you know where you're calling? Did you pay attention to the area code? Yes. Because...
Well, you're the mark. Yeah, your algorithm.
I get them all. Do you understand that Hawaii law is unique and different? Oh, yeah. I said, no, I don't think you do, because the rights of nature is not an issue here. The rights of our water is paramount. It's paramount. There's nothing... It doesn't need your help. It doesn't need your protection. We need to manage it better. We as human beings need to do something. But the water itself, in Hawaiian kingdom law and in the Hawaii Water Code, is in pretty good shape. Everything can get tweaked. But if you're a naturally flowing river, you got rights already. We don't need a lawyer from, you know, Chicago. So one of the things, though, that brought to mind is what we do and don't know. And I know that many esteemed scholars have studied and expounded on Hawaii water law, but it would be good, I think, if someone, this might be a good little master's project, put it in very, very simple terms, or maybe someone has and I just haven't seen it. Simple terms. The water in Hawaii is different, not just because of where it comes from and where it is, but because of what can and cannot happen to it while it's with us here on Earth. And one of the things that I love to do when I get a chance, which isn't very often anymore, is to teach young students. And I start with going in the classroom to the back of the room, and they all have little sinks, and I pour some water from the faucet into a clear plastic cup, and I hold it up and I ask the students to tell me how old the water is. And you get answers, you know, that run the gamut from, you know, you just poured it to, you know, whatever, kajillion years. But the fact is there is no new water. And yep. Once you understand that concept, it seems so simple. We all learn the water cycle. What goes up must come down. It goes around and around. That's the water cycle. There's no new water. It's like there's no new earth. There's no, the universe isn't making any new stuff here. We have what we have.
So it's a closed system, yeah.
Once you grasp the concept that the water that you have is the water that you have, you're not getting any different, not getting any adds, right? You're not getting any additions to that.
Oh, totally. And you, like, you know that the popular scientist Neil deGrasse Tyson?
Yes.
Have you heard his anecdote about water?
No, I don't think so, but gosh, I'm so addicted to his podcast.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah, he's good. But so that lesson you teach is what, to younger kids?
Yeah. But I tell you, I've done it with adults. And first of all, they think I'm trying to trick them, which I'm really not. But, answers.
Very similarly, he goes, yeah, so he pours a drink of water, has you take a drink, and he says, how did that, you know, that's water. That it contains the sweat from the night of your conception.
Ooh, that's compelling. Yeah. That's compelling. It's a much nicer story than the one. The one I tell is dinosaurs pissed in it, which, of course, the little kids love. But I mean it's the same water anyway. So
so getting into that, that's a good point. So now it's true, and so we're talking about public trust, right? Article 11, Section 1.
Yes.
Okay. So 100%. So I got it up, and the one good thing is when I'm here in my little, cubicle, I have all this at my fingertips, so I'm more effective here. But for everybody. Article 11, Section 1, the public trust doctrine, which you hear constantly. And it's pretty simple, but it's very complex, if that makes sense. So it says, for the benefit of present and future generations, the state and its political subdivisions, counties, shall conserve and protect Hawaii's natural beauty and all natural resources, including land and water, air, minerals, energy sources, and so that's the protection. However, and we've talked about this before, there's a comma after energy sources, and there's a conjunctive, I don't know what the word is called, but it says, and shall promote the development and utilization of these resources in a manner consistent with their conservation and in furtherance of the self-sufficiency of the state. All public natural resources are held in trust by the state for the benefit of the people. Now that's the rub. And I think, you know, your algorithm-friendly, you know, solicitation from the mainland, which, by the way, congratulations, because the missionary mentality is very kind of like, and I don't say that in reference to the, you know, second Great Awakening guys that came to Hawaii in the 1820s. I'm just saying general. If someone comes to another place and tells you, I'm going to save you.
Yeah.
Watch out. Just watch out.
You don't know what you need to know. You don't know how to take care of your place. You don't know. And by the way, it has, in my experience working where I work in Hanalei for almost 30 years now, it happens to me regularly. I would say at least once a week, somebody contacts me somehow to tell me that that they have a better mousetrap, that they know, you know, and about our natural resources, not about stuff that I do need to know, like new technology and stuff. That's all well and good, but people will call me, and I had a meeting with a fellow in Princeville, And I don't really think that human beings can levitate, you know, like lift up off, defy gravity. But if anybody can, I did that day. I literally was disconnected from my chair because this fellow who was well-meaning, very well-meaning, granted he planned on making a fortune, was trying to tell me about geographical information systems and you know, there's this thing, there's this new technology, and you can use it as a tool to determine, you know, what resources you have. And I said, excuse me, we've been using it for 20 years. Yes, we're well aware. And it is that mentality. He did not mean to offend. He did not mean to insult. He did both things. But he was trying to do something good in a place that he thought he could. So I don't fault the people that come to wherever they go and try to make things better for the people there. I fault the ignorance of them not getting their facts first, right? So one of the things that happens in a small, isolated place is somebody always thinks they've got a bigger, better, badder bear, you know, they've got mm-hmm. a better idea. By the way, before we get too much further into this, I want to make sure, please, folks, I gain nothing financially, I gain nothing in any way, but if you've never read Sugar Water by Carol Wilcox, that gives you a really good history of sugar water. It's important information to know. Whether you agree or disagree with some of her premises, it's essentially history. I mean, it's...
No, exactly. And I think, and that gets to the crux of it, right? I'd love to talk missionary stories, but yeah, moving on to the... So, you know, the interesting thing about water, getting to water, is I think there's like surface tension with it, right? And there's a bunch. And it's interesting because it's like when you talk about water and legally when you work with water, it is very much like water. It's hard to grasp. You know what I mean? Like yeah. you influence it indirectly. So if building on it, the issue we're at today is water better left alone? The tension is absolutely no use, or the false choice of no natural use, right? There's always this argument that the issue is, you know, either we're going to put all the water back in the streams, or they are going to take it all away, right? Neither of those are going to happen. It's impossible. And the reason why, number one, it shouldn't. Right, and this is where we get, because this is my opinion. But again, the water is, as it is geologically in Hawaii, and I very well could be wrong, but it sinks into the island, absorbs it in various ways, and then there's a water table underneath, there's a freshwater lens, right?
Yes.
And then eventually these islands will sink into the ocean, and it'll be like Midway, and there will be no water. And the water will join again this cycle. And that it's all cyclical, and so therefore I think that the Waters of Kane chant is correct. So if those of you who are familiar with the chant, I know a lot of you are. For those of you who aren't, it's basically a chant. It's not that long, and it's a back and forth. It follows the tradition Hawaiian chant, like question and answer format, and it's rhetorical questions asking where are the waters of Kane. And Kane was one of the four gods. Companion of Kanaloa, and they went around Polynesia. Kane had this big o'o, big stick, kawila stick, and he just poked it everywhere, and water would come up. And that was the story of springs. That was the spiritual, you know, story about how springs were made. And so the whole chant goes back and forth. Where are the waters of Kane? And at the eastern gate where the sun comes up at high. Where's the waters of Kane? Out there in the floating sun where the clouds form. Essentially, it's everywhere. You know, it's like that old Bosom of Abraham song. It's so high you can't get over it, so low you can't get under it, so wide you can't get around it, right? It's everywhere. But the interesting thing is, at the end, finally they go, one question I ask of you, where flows the waters of Kane? Deep in the ground, in the gushing spring, in the ducts of Kane and Kanaloa. A wellspring of water to quaff. Hewaipuna, Hewai e Inu, a water of magic power, the water of life. Life, oh, give us this life. To me, as a native Hawaiian, that means that Kane and Kanaloa, the water is to Heinu, to drink, to quaff, to use. That is why the water is magic. That's the power of life. O Kane, give us this life. A Hawaiian, the real Hawaiian perspective, I'm not going to say a real Hawaiian, because real Hawaiians have many perspectives. They are many colors. Every green, blue eyes, brown eyes, all kind, red hair, blonde hair, all kind hair. Hawaiians are all different kinds of people. You can't look at a person and say whether or not they're Hawaiian. It's impossible. But the Hawaiian cultural perspective is industrious and appropriate balanced use. It is not non-use. Kane is not rucking around poking the water. Or, you know, first he's poking the water. If he was interested in leave alone conservation, he wouldn't be poking water. He'd be killing you before you get to the stream, because there's those stories too, right? Brutal protection. That's why the conservation work, it's hard to do real conservation in the way people romantically idealize it nowadays without murder, because that was part of the Hawaiian system.
Don't give me suggestions.
Yeah, and I'm to be clear, I'm not advocating.
No, of course not. But the word enforcement is what you're talking about.
Yeah,
the
word. $50 fine. You know, yeah, I had clients that, as a public defender, and they go, you know, da 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 da. The Hawaiian Kingdom go abroad, and the Hawaiian Kingdom, they would off you for that.
Yeah. Don't claim. Yeah, to be careful what you claim.
$50 fine is nothing. You know.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And so for me, when we look at that, and now looking at the present day. Okay. Was it right for the sugar companies to totally change the water system? I mean, not totally. So the Hawaiians changed how water flowed on this island pre-1777. And we love it. You go to Kalalau, you go to Shucks, go to Nualoa'ina. You know, every valley is terraced. And that's good because it was rock and wood performed. But like I always say, if Hawaiians had backhoes, they'd do the same thing, tremendously. And so after the Hawaiians did their modification within their material, cultural, and technological limitations, then sugar came, and they did it. And like you said, those, for better or worse, it's history. It's our history. And I'm not a ignore history for a better, you know.
A better story. Whatever. Yeah.
A better story. A more emotionally.
It is what it is. It is what it is.
And we are products of that. You can't understand the present without understanding the future. And you can't go forward in a good way without understanding the
future. And you can't go forward without looking back. So yeah. I think, you know, we're going to take a break and plead one more time. They call it a pledge. I don't know. It's talking to a lawyer here, so maybe it's a pleading.
It's a request for donation.
Oh, okay. See?
808-826-7771.
Support this kind of conversation. I mean, I'm absolutely serious. There are radio stations. I also listen to a community radio station from a university campus in Boston, and I do it because they play really cool music. But they can play what they want. They can say what they want. They're on a campus. This little radio station is in a concrete block building that's a leftover, right? It's a remnant. What did it used to be?
Oh, Kauai Cable was using it, yeah.
So they had a service facility here. So
they had big satellites in the back, and they were getting TV from Denver, I think.
I remember. Yeah. I remember when we were getting Denver because it was a superstation. I knew more about Denver. Well,
and the
I knew,
Rockies.
Yeah.
When they became a team.
Yeah. I remember when they built the Denver airport. Stick by stick, we followed that thing in Hyena because it was the only TV we had. I had no clue what the weather was going to be like in Kauai, but I could tell you the weather in Denver. Anyway, so KKCR is one of those special, unique opportunities for you to support the kind of programming and conversation that we're having right now. I mean, this doesn't happen, folks.
And we're looking for volunteers. If you have ideas of programs, you know, it's not just financial support we need. We need involvement. community radio needs the community involved and supporting financially. Also, 808-826-7771. It costs about $1,000 a day to run this little jungle shack up here.
That's actually, if you think about what it costs you to live and so forth, that's probably right in most people's, I mean, that's what it's costing to live in life right now. That's just what it costs.
Right.
And I think, you know, if you wonder, how the heck did Macaulay get, you know, hold of that microphone? Well, it happened because I called the radio station and I spoke with the woman that you're hearing, Laura, and I said...
The previous manager,
KKCR, and I said, why are you letting those people talk? They're not saying it. That's just not right. And I go to da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and she said, put up or shut up. You have something to say. You have a different point of view. Come in and... have a show and talk about it. That's available to us all in this community. We are so fortunate, and I will tell you, I know that many of our residents and visitors listen, who don't drop a dime and try to support it, because they figure we're getting a lot of federal money. No, we're not. So this radio station literally depends on your individual donations. It's a fantasy. It's not true.
Less than a third comes from the CPB, Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Yeah, so it's important that we keep saying that. And the mission...
And no amount is too small. If you can give us $10, $10 a month, you know, of course we'll take $10,000, you know, any amount. And it is a... like, you know, it feels good to support it. And I know a lot of even my friends listen all the time and they just don't think about it. And so I just want you to say to you that have been listening for a long time and haven't donated, you know, if not now, when? Just call us. 808-826-7771. Taj is here waiting for your call. It takes 5 minutes.
Yeah. And all this stuff takes technology, and technology needs care and maintenance and expertise. You got to pay somebody who knows stuff, otherwise you just break all this good stuff.
Right.
And some of the stuff in this station is pretty old.
26 years old. The board that we're going through right now is 26 years old. We do have new boards, and that's a new expense over and above the $1,000 a day. And I think it came out to about $60,000 with installation and everything for two brand new broadcasting boards, bringing us into the 20th century. I think you're going to notice our sound is going to improve immensely. And I'm really excited about the future of KKCR and the new management and their freshness. And, you know, I think y'all should join the fun bus.
Yeah.
Come up here and be a part of the station. I need to play the community calendar real
quick, and then
we'll get back. Thank you so much.
Mahalo, Pat Durkin, for your many, many years of ocean safety work and tolerating our relationship. Pat and I have a very interesting relationship that we've had for a long, long time. He's still amazed that we're as friendly as we are, because we were diametrically opposed at one point as a boater in Hanalei and so forth. He's a really good guy and doing good things. and because I can, because they haven't kicked me off this microphone yet, the notice there in the music calendar of Tiffany Chavez at Shutters, that's my granddaughter. She has a lovely voice. Her mother has a lovely voice, and her other grandmother has a lovely voice. So she's quiet and sweet and nothing like me. So she's a good girl. I don't know, you never know, right, what you're gonna produce. Okay, so water today is in the headlines. I was reading a little bit of Kepa Mali's comments on Lahaina and how it should be addressed now that it has been offered a reset. Let's just put it that way. It's a horrific, horrible disaster, catastrophe, a nightmare of grand proportions. But It is also an opportunity, and it is a reset. And I spent all day yesterday with people who had been heavily involved in the immediate response and
what did you say?
Well, Mally said, now's the time to put the water back in Lahaina. Now's the time to bring the water back, that it was, in fact, lo'i and ponds and all of that. It was never meant to be. And this is what happens when you do the wrong thing in the wrong place because you don't know. Okay, so, if you don't know, but now you know, right? Bugger burned down.
Yeah.
And so, and you can blame, it really doesn't matter what was at fault, who was at fault. It really doesn't matter. In my mind, it's time to do what's right. And this is an opportunity to do what's right. And Kepa says, put the water back.
Wonderful. Okay, now, so this is a great thing. Now...
By the way, this strange voice on the other end of the wires is Mauna Kea Trask, who is with me, Maka'ala, for Pilikia or Pono. We always forget to introduce ourselves, Mauna. People go, who is that you were talking to? They kind of know my voice by now, but... Yours, apparently, I still need to identify once in a while. So, thank you.
I'm Mauna Kea Trask, fourth generation legal picker from Moloa, Waipuke area, and general,
and still alive to tell the story.
Right. So I think we're getting. So this is an excellent issue to talk about, and terrible, absolutely terrible. But what does I mean? So, and a lot of people, it's so. And it's good. A lot of people are paying attention. I wish everything for the. I was talking to a gentleman yesterday. He works at the county planning department, and he's he went over there. You know, Kauai. We're so well attuned to dealing with disaster that I really think County of Kauai employees and officers are some of the best at managing big disasters, and we have people over there right now that are helping doing the stuff that no one talks about, procurement contracts, working with templates, working within FEMA guidelines. I mean, everyone is really big ideas now, and it's kind of a sourpuss person who's actually dealt with disasters. It's very easy to talk about. It's extremely complex to do. And the thing is, the last thing I learned before I left county was that FEMA told everybody, and this was back in 2018, that we can't afford natural disasters anymore. There's just too many a year. So, all this stuff about people going, that's a big land grab and things, I don't think that's likely. There's just so much the government doesn't have a lot of resources. And anyway, they'll give you money and then they claw it back. There's always an audit and there's always a clawback. And Kauai is good at dealing with that. So anyway, he was just saying how tragic it was. I mean, people... Old aunties, 80 years old, lost their whole family. Terrible. But coming out of it with regard to the water, and the fields are dry. Lahaina is surrounded by dry water, and so when big ag leaves, and they are no longer taking care of the land in with the resources of a large monocrop agriculture, what happens? So Hawaii, a couple things. Lahaina was the Venice of the Pacific, right? That's how they describe it in the early 19th century, during whaling, huge whaling town. But Mauka of that was all deciduous forests, right? And the system was so complex because it grew up over 3-4 million years of evolution with native birds. And, the system is important to understand. Because what does that mean to put it back? Do you raise and grade the whole thing again? Do you redig the trenches? I mean, one of the most important, I thought it was a beautiful opportunity to reconvert that baseball diamond that used to be the Kiha Wahine's place,
Yeah.
Wonderful. But I mean, but how do you do that? Really, how? Because that's what I'm interested in. And in order to do that, we're diverting water back. So going back to the idea of using water, it is use. So I think we have to set aside this romantic idea and of pristine water flowing, because if we let the waters back, we all get flooded out. we get flooded out. Most of our stuff, our infrastructure is developed around the sugarcane, the dirt they moved, the dirt they did, right?
Yeah.
You can't have Kapaa anymore. You can't have Waikiki anymore. And Waikiki is the only place in the state where the state supports seawalls. You know, that's all contrived, right? So at
well,
this
it's because
point,
an error right? was made. It's because of one error begets the next error begets the next error.
And there's they've crossed the Rubicon. You right. cannot take away the state's number one economic generator. And Lahaina is probably number two, I've heard. I didn't know that. But huge deficits now there's going to be. It's going to hit everything very hard.
So and that's going to be the pressure. So the pressure will be the dollar versus the nature, the dollar yeah, versus the land, the dollar versus the water, yeah. the dollar. And one's not right and wrong. It's just they're two very, very different purposes, unless you can get some really creative, smart folks like the old Hawaiians were of how to capitalize the return of the water to Lahaina. It could absolutely be done. It's not going to go back to little plastic trinkets from China, but it could absolutely be done. It's just not going to be, it's not going to look like it did, and it's not going to be the scale that it did. But I just have to wonder, what kind of benefit of just the investment and energy of doing something pono? What happens because of that? Because of your intention being pono, and you're trying, your struggle, your fight, your work to return the balance to the earth. What is the reward for that? Right? It may not be in your show up in your bank account, but it's sure going to show up.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, your reward is. I mean, you die a good death, right? You live a good life, you die a good death. That's it. There's no money. Obviously, there's no money. Nonprofits were begging this month.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But I think. The starting point, and I hate to be like super macro level, but the number one thing is to get away from the idea that it's this versus that, because it's a complex system. Like you said, we're all drinking the water. None of us go to the stream to get water. We all use tap. And unfortunately, most of us buy water, which is ridiculous, because the Kauai water in our tap is way better than anything you're buying in the store.
Absolutely.
100%.
Absolutely.
The water department is not poisoning us. I don't even think we have fluoride in our water.
No, well, the point is what Kapaa is saying, if you want to restore balance. So what happens when these things, this is what we talk about with climate change. It's out of, so on a large scale, it's out of balance. On a small scale, it's out of balance in a wetland when the birds aren't there, or when we have the invasive invertebrates, or we have the invasive cat. It's out of balance. And any effort you make to bring it back into balance benefits the larger system. So trying to bring a place like Lahaina back into balance of what it used to be, it'll never be back to exactly what it was, but we could make great strides in returning the land to a more pono use, a more pono practice. And there's good people there who know what that looked like and who know how to do it. The issue, of course, is what you just said, the economic driver that we lost in Lahaina. Will another one pop up somewhere in Maui? Probably.
Well, and this is the thing. We're going to the same place. 100%, which is a better life, right? That's what we all want. For years, I said the same thing: let's return, right? But I'm at the place now where it's like, again, Hawaiian metaphors. I just went paddling this morning, so canoes don't go backwards, and we've talked about this before. They're garbage at going backwards. But I don't think we're returning anywhere, because anytime I hear the return phrase, like, let's go back, let's how it was, it wasn't how you thought it was. I heard somebody romanticizing sugar yesterday. Sugar was like a
consumptive.
Yeah, but it was a really unique and lucky historical opportunity that was really predicated upon the American Civil War, because ag wiped out So all of a sudden, sugar from hoy was like, you know, is a commodity that they could actually sell and trade. And then the second the Civil War ended and then you went into the late 19th century economic problems, it went away. And they had to overthrow the kingdom in order to keep it going. So let's not over-romanticize ag or think sugar was stable. It was never stable. Go ask the guys who, you know, ran sugar. I've demonized those people for my whole life. But then understanding more of history now, it's like, oh, if it was more profitable to stay independent, Hoy would have stayed independent. It's an economic thing. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm sure they would rather not have committed treason and just made money. It's simpler, less effort, right? And water will always go where there's less effort, right? It's going to pick the easiest courses of its path. So I think that instead of return, let's look forward to, as a canoe, how do we go forward to a better life, right? What does that mean? And I think it's simple. Keep it simple. We need more housing. So we need to put the water not necessarily back into like how it was depicted in a 1900s painting, but where we need it to house our people that are now displaced on a massive level. How do we, you know, build better resources? How can we use water to go forward in our canoe together? Each of us in our respective seats, paddling together, not talking in the boat, listening to the steersman, following the stroker, watching the ama, right? I mean, these are all very apropos metaphors.
And those are the six reasons why Makala does not paddle.
you steer, right? You're in the boat and the escort board barking.
I do that.
So I'm thinking like, well, Hine is a great opportunity. I think we should take it. But let's not, because a lot of people, when they say return, they want a time machine. That's what they want, which is impossible according to laws of physics. So you don't want to have a better life now or in the future. What you want to do is daydream in the past. And I tell you, and you said something very interesting, like second guessing and all this stuff. A lot of Hawaiians did things back then that they thought were right. And maybe they are right, and we just think that they were wrong. Because coming out of the 19th century, all of Polynesia was emerged either under the protection of France, England, or America. And this goes back to, I'm going to wrap my tirade up, but I forgot to bring this up last time. And all these things, changes in power and governance and new waves of people, that's been going on since before contact. You know, Kalakaua tells that the Royal Hunchback story, which is a story about the Nanaula chiefs being supplanted by the Pili chiefs, and then the older line wanting to take power back, right? And ultimately they couldn't, because they couldn't convince the Makaainana that they had a better life under their rule as opposed to the Pili chiefs who just came from Samoa and created this new structure, because the Samoan chiefs, the life wasn't any worse. You know, they both had kapu, they both had this general thing. But the Samoan chiefs brought ulu. They had other kinds of wood. They brought new food. They had different gods that were kind of cool. And the people were like, economically, we're kind of better off. So we're not interested. And so I think this opportunity now, I would love to hear more pragmatic, better comfort and economics in the broad sense of like a better life in relationships, not necessarily money, but just a better life. If Lahaina and we can build a better life out of this ruins, then definitely we can take care of ourselves, and maybe we can say something to the and show the world something.
And you
but
know, there was an article. Oh shoot! I guess she was doing a commentary for Civil Beat. Talking about how long it took for the Twin Towers Memorial to be constructed and the effort that was involved. And people all along the way were saying, oh my gosh, this can't take this long. This can't take this long. It took long. It took long. So for anybody
Cocoa palms.
Yeah, well.
I mean, look at a picture of Lahaina right now. You'll see a cocoa palms building. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
We know on Kauai, we know what happens when the insurance companies cut. And then you're dealing with, and when you try to do things, there's a lot of roadblocks. And it's like that old, I never read it, but it's in the ether, right? That Pogo thing. Like, I've seen the enemy and it's us, right?
Yeah.
So there's a lot, it's so complex. And I think that, yeah, the philosophy is out there and we all want to do good things. But I think fundamentally, and looking at the disaster thing, you know, I went through Iniki as a kid. It's still a big thing in it's formed part of my identity and understanding of the world. But everyone will say who went through it, like, we came together. Kauai was still small enough, and you know, we helped each other out for those 2 years, 3 years. And we're not there anymore. Even the people who were there aren't there anymore, like, have that same mindset. I don't know if that happened again, if Kauai would do the same thing. I don't know if Lahaina will be able to do that, because we live in a different world with different things like social media, and the culture is very adversarial, you know, all these things. But we need to come together. I hate to do, like, that guy thing, you know? But can't we all get along? Like Rodney King, right? He said that, right? Got beat up.
But it's true. It's true. Taking the Hawaiian perspective and looking at water, taking the place into account, and not just looking at it as the larger system thing. Looking at this place, I mean, Lahaina has always been, you know, dry. That wind that happened that day is a named wind.
Yeah.
It's not a foreign thing there. That wind happens there. And so whatever you're thinking about bringing back, you need to understand that place, its winds, its waters. And one of the things that Kepa talks about, of course, bring the water back, but if you have that in top of mind, if that's you know, whether or not it's going to look like it ever did before is not really the point. The point is what was missing. Yeah,
well, I think of that, and is we have to develop the Maukalans.
Yeah,
whether it's develop as an agricultural use, develop as in something. We got to irrigate it. We got to water it. It can't be dry. And so does that mean, and I think that means more housing, mauka, mixed use mauka, ag mauka. It doesn't have to be mutually exclusive, but we can't let it fallow. All these fallow lands, these large ag tracts that we aren't doing anything with, heva.
Yeah.
Pilikia,
yeah.
Not pono, pilikia. We got to do something with it. And I'm not, as a Hawaiian that went through Iniki, I'm not, buildings don't scare me. They'll all get torn out. They all rot. It's all temporary. But we have to do better for us now in a way that's not, and mitigate the harm in the future, if any.
And right? it starts with the recognition of what is pono and what is, and the process, and being patient that the process is going to take time. And since we've described Lahaina as an example of the pressure of the economics of it, the thing that's hard to do is to put on the brakes and say pause. What are we really thinking about? What's right for the place? And paying attention to the process. So my bent in life is paying attention to the process. And if you pay attention to the process and watch which way the water's flowing, then you know which way to go. You do.
Yeah.
Follow the water. Everybody says follow the water. Well, the water's been diverted and okay, but it eventually is supposed to go to the sea, right? So make a path.
I don't know. It's supposed to be drunk, right? It's the quaff. So all I'm saying is that, going back to your first point, you're right. Water is protected very well in Hawaii. It is very protected. I'm not worried about the protection of water. I'm worried about the promotion and development and utilization of water in a manner consistent with its conservation and in furtherance of the self-sufficiency of the state. Because I tell you, as a Hawaiian, I'm never leaving this place. I want to stay here forever. I need to stay here forever. My kids, it's the same thing. In order to do that, in order for this land to be stewarded, Hawaiians need to be here. In order for Hawaiians to be here, we need to drink water. We need to develop. So I'm advocating, and not saying improperly, but in the appropriate pono way. You're right. That's what that is. So we need pono development. And that's always going to be my thing with this. And whether right or wrong, again, you guys, We'll put the info on the website. You can disagree with me. That's fine. You already do. I'm cool with it. But yeah,
it's a good thing. It's a good thing. And again, folks, you know, this opportunity to even have this conversation. We're so grateful, Mauna, that you make time for this. And I can't believe, good heavens, are you serious? You paddled before 7 o'clock? I can't even
imagine. It's impressive.
Well, it's not that I was hoping a mo'o would eat me at 5:30 in the morning.
Man. Yeah, well, you just might. Nobody will know because
fine with me.
Fine with you. So, Mauna, we're so grateful for your time and for this opportunity. I mean that sincerely. And it couldn't happen somewhere else. I mean, let's all try, folks. Let's try call into another radio station. Say, I got something to say. I wanna. Yeah. Uh huh. Yeah. I think you should call KKCR because they do that kind of thing.
That's right. Call us right now. 808-826-7771. And thank you both so much for participating in your community radio station.
Even though she...
Yeah, aloha, you guys. Have a great day.
Aloha, Mauna. Aloha. Good luck at council. Have fun.
Bye.
If I didn't have another engagement, oh, I would so be in the car. I have a history of Northern California political involvement where the county council supervisors in that place were live on the local radio station.
Oh,
hazardous, man. I would, in my chenille bathrobe and practically hair curlers in my hair, would fly into the car and down there and say, wait a minute, that's not how this goes. Our county council broadcasts, I don't know, the day after, the next day after that, and it's to their benefit that it's not live unless you go down there and sit, which I have done. So we're grateful, KKCR, for being here. We're grateful for all of you being there. And please contribute what you can. This is important. It's important to the world. It's important to the Pacific. And it's important to Kauai. And mahalo for this opportunity.
Thank you.